Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercies and love toward us. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings and help in our lives. Thank you for all that you have given to us freely. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your strength that is upholding us. Thank you for making all things to work together for our good. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are grateful, Lord, for your promises that are coming to pass in our lives. Thank you for your divine protection and guidance in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to grow in the knowledge of you. Thank you for also helping us to apply the truth you have been telling us in our daily life, daily activities. Thank you, Father. Thank you for uprooting things you did not plan in our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are grateful for the great plans you have for us and for the assurance we have that you will fulfill those plans. Thank you, Lord. We are here this evening in your presence to learn your word, to learn from you, and to trust you for revelation through your word. Oh Lord, visit us and help us and do beyond our imaginations in Jesus' name. Let the entrance of your word into our heart produce great light and great understanding in Jesus' name. Let the entrance of your word into our spirit produce great revival and transformation in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you are going to do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We are going to continue with our teaching on persecution. We're going to be looking at another topic tonight. Our topic is going to be examples of men who endured persecution courageously. Examples of men in the Bible who endured persecution courageously. That is, they courageously and boldly go through persecution. Yeah, we're going to start with Jeremiah. Open your Bibles to Jeremiah 26, verse 11 to 15. Jeremiah 26, 11 to 15. Then speak the priest and the prophet unto the princes and to the people, saying, this man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that you have heard. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. Verse 15. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you can see from those verses how they confronted Jeremiah and how they were ready to kill him. Yeah, but Jeremiah was fearless. He was bold. He was very courageous. And he told them, everything I have said to all of you is what the Lord has sent me to say. And that was the response of Jeremiah in those verses. Jeremiah 26, verse 11 to 15. Yeah, so he was bold to tell them that he hasn't come to them speaking from his own head. Yeah, that he hasn't come to them speaking from his own mind or his own wisdom. Yeah, he was bold enough to tell them that everything they have heard from his mouth was what the Lord has sent him, what the Lord gave him to tell them. So, and he defended himself, he defended his ministry with boldness. Yeah, and he was fearless. He said, if you kill me, all of you would bring innocent blood upon your hands. Yeah, so he was not afraid to die. Yeah, so these are examples of men in the Bible who courageously endured persecution. And Jeremiah was seriously persecuted. You can go and read all the chapters in Jeremiah. Even if you have read it before, you can go and read it again. And you're going to see how that man was seriously persecuted because of the word of the Lord. Yeah, because he stood to tell the people the truth. Yeah. So what should we learn from this man? We should learn fearlessness and courage and boldness concerning preaching and teaching the truth, concerning proclaiming the truth. That is what we should learn. Yeah. That is a good example for us in these last days. I mean, Jeremiah is a good example for us to follow in these last days. Yeah. You know, sometimes I began to ask myself, what kind of prophet do we have on hand today? Because the prophet that we read about in the Bible, they were not men pleasers. Yeah, prophets like Jeremiah. Yeah, these people, they don't speak to please anyone. And not only that, the prophets that we read about in the Bible, they warn people of God's wrath. They warn people of God's anger. They spoke publicly and fearlessly against sin, against idolatry, against wickedness of men. Yeah, they spoke publicly. And then I begin to ask myself, what are the prophets in the church today? What are they doing? What are the prophets on earth today doing? At least the prophets that claim that God called them. What are they doing? What are they speaking? What are they preaching? What are they teaching? And not just prophets. What about the pastors, the apostles, the evangelists, the teachers, yeah, the ministers of God that we have today? Ask yourself, what are they really doing? Why are they so quiet concerning the wrong things that are prevailing on earth, the sinful actions, sinful attitudes, sinful lifestyles that are prevailing on earth and even inside the church? Why are they so quiet? Why are they not talking? Why are they not preaching against all these things? Yeah. Well, the answer is they are afraid of the people. Yeah, because no one who carries the genuine presence of the Holy Spirit will say that the Holy Spirit tells him or her not to speak the truth. Or is the Holy Spirit that is withholding him or her from saying the truth, from preaching the truth? Yeah, it's not possible because the Holy Spirit Himself is the Spirit of truth. So everything the Holy Spirit will keep doing in you is to push you to say the truth, to preach the truth, to proclaim the truth, to stand for the truth. That is what the Spirit of God that I know will push people to do. Yeah. So the Spirit of God will not tell you to shut your mouth when it comes to telling the truth or preaching the truth. So it is obvious that fear is what has shut the mouth of our pastors and prophets and men of God in this generation. Yeah. Some, it is fear of losing members. Yeah, they feel like if they start to preach the word of God as it is and begin to warn the people of the judgment of God that is coming and begin to mention the things that are prevailing in the lives of the people and calling the people to repent. So they are afraid that as they do those things, the people will start leaving the church. So they are afraid of losing members. They only want to have a congregation with a lot of members. Yeah. So they don't want to lose members. So they are hiding the truth from the people. Well, God is going to judge them mercilessly. Yeah. If you're a pastor or you're a church leader and you're hiding the truth from God's people, God will judge you mercilessly. Heaven will deal with you mercilessly, both in this earth and after you die. Yeah, so we must be careful concerning this matter. I have said it before in our previous teachings that persecution is also one of the ways through which God tests us. God uses persecution to try us, to prove us, to test our faith and our love for Him. Yeah. So if you really love God, prove it by standing for the truth, by preaching the truth. Yeah, in public places without fear. Yeah. Prove it. Yeah, prove that you really love Him. Prove that you really want to please Him and serve Him. Prove it in the kind of messages you preach. Yeah, some ministers they only want to preach prosperity message, breakthrough messages, success messages. You will not hear them preach messages that call the people to genuine repentance and salvation. Yeah, you will hardly hear them preach such kind of message. Yeah, you will hardly. Why? May the Lord have mercy on His church. Now, there is this other practice that I have also noticed with many ministers of God today. And that practice is very wrong. Yeah. Now, some ministers of God, they would preach messages of, you know, messages that do not really center on repentance and salvation. And then after the message, they would say, is there anyone here that wants to give his or her life to Jesus? Now, the message they preach does not really center on calling people to repentance, calling people to salvation. Yeah, it does not really center on heaven and hell. Yeah, but after the message, they would say, is there anyone here that wants to give his or life to Jesus? If you want to give your life to Jesus, come forward right now. Yeah, that is a wrong way to call people to salvation. Yeah, that is not how it should be according to the Bible. If you are going to make an altar call for people to come and surrender their lives to Jesus, you have to have preached a message that fully centers on that issue, on that matter. Yeah, not that you just preach, you know, messages that centers on, you know, other things, deliverance, healing, breakthrough, prosperity, and then they will say, you cannot have all these breakthroughs and deliverance and prosperity if you are not a child of God. Yeah, so come out now and become a child of God. As good as that might sound, that is not original. That is not how the gospel of repentance and salvation should be preached. Because if you are telling the people to come out and become a child of God so that they can prosper, so that they can succeed and excel and receive healing and receive breakthrough, then you have done something wrong to the faith of those people. Yeah, because now after they have come out and gave their lives to Jesus, and now things, they return back to their places, their homes, and then things start going in a negative direction with them. And then they didn't get the prosperity that you said they would get if they come out and become a child of God. And then they didn't get the breakthrough. And then they didn't get the deliverance. Yeah, you tell me what those people would do eventually. They will leave Jesus. Yeah, because the Jesus you presented to them was the Jesus that only gives prosperity, breakthroughs, healings, deliverances. Yeah, because that is the Jesus you presented to them. So now, if they return back to their places and they didn't see the healing, they didn't see the breakthroughs, they didn't see the deliverance, they didn't experience the deliverance, you tell me what they would do. You know, we know what such people would do. Eventually, they would turn away from following Jesus. Why? Because the preacher presented Jesus to them in a wrong way. Yeah, the preacher called them to salvation in a wrong way, with a wrong message. Yeah, I don't know if you get my point. Yeah, because Christianity is not bread and butter. Yeah, and Jesus did not primarily come to give us prosperity and breakthroughs. deliverance, success, healing. Yeah, I mean, when I mean deliverance, I'm talking about the external aspect of deliverance. Yeah, because there's the internal deliverance that has to do with your soul. Yeah, so Jesus did not come primarily to do those things. He didn't come primarily to do those things. Yeah, the primary assignment of Jesus in your life is to save your soul, to save you from sin. Yeah, then after he has been able to do that, he will now connect you with the other benefits that are in his kingdom, which includes the healing, the prosperity, the success, the breakthroughs, the progress, and all of that. Yeah. So now if we bypass, we preachers, if we bypass the primary reason the primary reason why Jesus came into the head, and we start to present the gospel, we start to present the gospel in a different way, we'll be creating great problems. Yeah, if we bypass the salvation of souls, people being saved from sin, if we bypass that, and we're just telling them, come to Jesus and receive breakthroughs, receive blessings, receive this, we'll be creating fake Christians. Yeah, that is what we'll be doing. We'll be creating fake Christians or half-baked Christians. Christians that will not last in the faith. Yeah. I pray that God will have mercy on the generation of Christians of today, in Jesus' name. Yeah, so we need to really copy the lifestyle of people like Jeremiah in the Bible, the ministry of people like Jeremiah in the Bible. We need to follow the example of such prophets, of such men, yeah, who were bold to speak the truth. Yeah, people were not afraid of anything. Yeah, some ministers, they are afraid that if they speak the truth, the people will not give them money anymore. Yeah, that if they speak the truth and preach the truth to the people, those who have been giving donations and offerings and tithe will stop giving those things. Yeah. And because of that, they couldn't preach the raw word of God. Yeah, what a shame. Let us also look at another example. Example of men who endured persecution courageously. Another example is Paul, that is Apostle Paul and his companions. Paul and his companions. Let us look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12. and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Let me read it in New Living Translation. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2. It says, we walk wearily with our own hands to earn our living. We bless those who curse us. We are patient with those who abuse us. Yeah, so this is Apostle Paul talking about how he and his missionary team, how they handled persecution and hatred from the people. Yeah. He said while they were on the mission field, he said they worked with their own hands to meet their needs. Yeah, why? Because they don't want anyone to speak wrongly about their message and their identity as children of God, because people can easily say, oh, these people are preaching to us because they want our money. Yeah, a lot of people say that. Yeah, and these people, this pastor is troubling me with his messages, because he needs my money. He keeps coming to me to preach because he wants my money. Yeah, so Apostle Paul and his team, to avoid those false accusations, they chose to walk with their own hands to provide for their needs. And not only that, they undid the persecution that came from the people and the opposition and the attacks, even abuse and curses that came from the people. They handled it with love and with boldness. Yeah, and with courage. Yeah, he said, we were persecuted, but we suffered that persecution. Yeah, we patiently go through it. We're being reviled, but we bless the people. Yeah, the people cursed us, they insulted us, but we open our mouth and we bless them. We didn't curse them back. Yeah. So these are examples of men that we should follow, because they endured persecution courageously. So what do you do when you were, when you are being insulted because of your faith and your message about Jesus? What do you do? Do you also insult the people back? Or do you pray for them? Yeah. We should learn from Apostle Paul, because Jesus said we should bless those people that cause us, and we should pray for our enemies. That was what Jesus told us to do. Yeah. I pray that we will obey the Bible in Jesus' name. Now let us move to another. We are still looking at. The second example was Paul and his team, his companions. Now, we want to look at Paul himself. Yeah, just Paul himself, how he himself alone handled persecution. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4 to 5. 2 Corinthians 6, 4 to 5. I read, but in all things are proving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, verse 5, in strife, in imprisonment, in tumult, in labors, in watching, in fasting. Yeah. Do you see that? Yeah, he said, we will approve ourselves that we are ministers of God through patience in afflictions, through much patience in afflictions, in necessities. Necessities means the things that you need, but you're not getting them at the time that you seriously needed them. Yeah. But this man of God said, he has learned to be very much patient. To be very much patient, even in necessities and in afflictions and in distresses. Yeah. So even while going through those things, he knows that those things are not permanent. He knows that God have already made a way of deliverance for him in those situations. But he's ready to wait patiently for God to come and deliver him. Yeah, so he doesn't act rashly or irrationally, like some people would do today, just very small problem, very small affliction. They start to misbehave just some very short period of affliction and hardship and distress. They start to misbehave. Yeah, they cannot patiently go through the things that happen. I mean, the challenges of life. Yeah, the things that come upon them through issues of life or through people around them. So they cannot patiently endure those things. I pray that God will help you to have much patience in Jesus' name. Yeah, in that verse 5, he said, in strife, in imprisonment. So that is, even when he had to go through big things, yeah, because in those days, they give them beatings, especially the Roman soldiers. Yeah, I think usually they give 39 stripes. Yeah, and those stripes used to be laced with blades. You know, a stripe is a very long, hard, and strong rope laced with blades. So on that rope are blades. Yeah, you know, such that anyone that receives a stripe, we also receive a wound immediately. Yeah, because there are sharp things on those ropes. So they gave Jesus those stripes too. Yeah, before they crucified him. So in those days, many of the apostles and missionaries, they get these stripes very frequently. Especially when they arrest them for preaching the gospel. So here, Apostle Paul was saying he took many stripes, and yet he did not misbehave, because he yet approved himself as a minister of God. Yeah, so you are going to approve that you are a minister of God by the way you act and behave in the situations of life, in the negative situations of life that happens to you, and not just as ministers, even as Christians, as children of God, we are approving that we are real children of God by the way we act and react during negative situations, during afflictions, during challenges of life. That is how we approve ourselves as ministers of God. May the Lord help every one of you in Jesus' name. Yeah, so let us also look at verse 8 to 10. Still this particular chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8 to verse 10. It says, by honor and dishonor. By honor and dishonor. By evil report and good report. As deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed. What he's saying here is that he went through honor and dishonor. Yeah, just like some men of God today, they want honor everywhere they go. Yeah, they just want honor everywhere they go. And sometimes if they look at you and you don't honor them, maybe you don't recognize them as a servant of God. Yeah. But because they want the honor, they will tell you, do you know that I am pastor so and so? Do you know that I am apostle this and that? And do you know that I have a very big church with thousands of members? Yeah, why? Because they are seeking for honor. And do you know that God have used me to raise 30 dead people back to life just last year? These are seekers of honor. The honor that comes from God usually come as a reward. Yeah, not because you seek for it. Yeah, the honor that comes from God does not come because you seek for it. It comes as a reward of the kind of life you live. Yeah, as a reward of your sacrificial life. Yeah. So you don't go about seeking for honor from people. Yeah. God Himself will make the people to honor you. Yeah. So here Apostle Paul was saying that he went through both honor and dishonor, and yet he did not mess up. He didn't misbehave. And not only that, he also experienced evil reports and good reports. So which means many people lied on him. Many people said he did things he never did. That's the meaning of evil report. Yeah. And of course, many people also gave good report. Yeah. But he joyfully went through all of that. And he was not moved. And then he said, as deceivers, and yet true. Yeah, because he was painted as a deceiver. Yeah, many people painted him as a deceiver, as a false prophet. But he said, God, after some period of time, confirmed to those people that he is not a deceiver, that he is true. That's what he meant by as deceivers and yet true. So after he had been painted as a deceiver, he did not react. He did not start fighting them. I said, do you know who I am? Do you know when God called me? How can you say I'm a false prophet? Yeah, he didn't do any of that. He was just quiet. He was just patient, because eventually God now confirmed to those people who painted him as deceiver that he is true, that he is a true servant of God and not a deceiver. Yeah, you know, I've met some people online that they want me to prove to them that I'm a true man of God, or I'm a true servant of God. They want me to be proven to them that I'm not a deceiver, that I'm not false. Yeah, in my mind, I'll just laugh. Yeah, because I'm not here to prove to anyone that I'm true. Yeah. It's none of my business. And why should I even be proving to people that I'm true? Am I living for the people? Yeah, I'm living for Christ. And as a matter of fact, I want my own soul saved. I want to make heaven. Yeah, myself. Yeah, and if I want to do that, then I know how much I hope to please God and obey God. So if I'm doing righteousness, I'm not doing it to show anybody that I am true. You can believe anything about me. Yeah, whatever you want to believe, you can believe. Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, my concern is that I will please God so that my own soul will be saved. Yeah, that's my own concern. Yeah. And that's my pursuit. Yeah, so you have no business trying to prove to someone that you are true, or that, that you're a servant of God and not servant of the devil. It's none of your business. If you're a wise Christian or a wise minister, your business is to walk with God in such a way that your own soul will be saved. Yeah, your own business is to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah, So let the people believe whatever they want to believe about you. Yeah. I pray that you'll be wise in Jesus' name. So let me also look at the other verses. It says, as in verse 9, as unknown, and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live. You know, as unknown, he meant that he and those working with him, they were not going about trying to make themselves known, as some people are doing today, some preachers. They want to be known. They spend a lot of money just to be known. They try a lot just to be known. They do a lot of adverts just to be known. Yeah. Paul did not do any of that. In fact, do you know that many of these letters that we are reading today, that were written by Paul, was not intended to be part of the Bible? Yeah, but do you know that? Many of these letters that are now popular today, you know, many of these letters that Apostle Paul wrote, like the one I'm reading right now, they weren't intended to be included in the Bible. Yeah, that was not the motive. He was not trying to make himself more famous than the other apostles. He wasn't trying to be known. He was just doing his work, you know, trying to disciple people, trying to show them more about God's kingdom. Yeah, you know, only to discover after he had gone to heaven that they now included almost all his letters to be part of the Bible. Yeah, so you should not go about trying to make yourself known as a minister of God. You should go about trying to make Jesus known, trying to make the word of God known. Yeah. So it is in doing so that God can now consider if he should give you fame or not. Yeah. It says, as dying, and behold, we live. Yeah. There's no time for me to go through all of those verses in them. Now, verse 10. It says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. I pray that the Lord give you understanding of these verses. In Jesus' name. Let's also look at another example. Timothy. That is another example of men who endured persecution courageously. Let us read 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now this is Paul writing to Timothy, telling him to not be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of Jesus Christ, and not also be afraid of him who is in prison. Yeah, because as at when Paul was writing this letter, he was in prison. And some people already were ashamed of him. Yeah, because they were saying, if this man was really called by God, why would God allow him to stay this long in prison? Because Paul actually stayed very long in prison. We don't know how many years, but I think it was more than maybe 2 years. Yeah. He stayed for so long in prison. And many people were, many people began to be ashamed of him. Yeah, because they were like, if this man is really of God, why would God allow him to stay that long in prison and not release him from prison? Yeah, so he was writing to Timothy to not join those people. Yeah, but that he should be willing and ready to also partake of the afflictions of the gospel. I pray that you will not be ashamed of Jesus in whatever situation you find yourself in Jesus' name. I pray that you will boldly testify of Jesus even in the midst of scarcity, lack, poverty, even in the midst of afflictions and persecutions in Jesus' name. Yeah, because some people will say, I look at you that you are preaching the gospel to me. Look at your sandal. Look at your slippers. You don't even have money to buy a good shoe, a good sandal. And you're standing here preaching to me. So if I receive your Jesus, me too, I'll become poor like you. Yeah. All of those things, they are just human, they're just babblings from the fallen mind of human beings. Yeah, they're just babblings from human fallen soul. The fallen state of human soul, yeah, is what is making those people to talk like that. Yeah, let people talk anything they want to talk. You continue to preach the gospel. Yeah, the gospel has nothing to do with whether you have money in your pocket or not. In fact, it has nothing to do with the type of sandal or shoe or slippers you're wearing. Yeah, all that it has to do with is the power of God that is able to save souls from sin. I pray that you will be wise in Jesus' name. Now, another example, early Christians. Yeah, another example of men, people who endured persecution courageously, the early Christians. Let us look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 32 to 33. Hebrews 10, verse 32 to 33. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. Yeah, the writer of this Hebrew was saying that those believers should remember the former days after they gave their lives to Jesus, how they had to endure a great fight of afflictions. how they became a laughing stock in the sight of the people. Yeah, you know, that they should not forget those days. Yeah, because as long as we are still in this world, and we are still determined to do the will of God, there will always be persecution. Yeah, so even if right now you are not experiencing any persecution, prepare your mind to stand for Jesus whenever persecution comes. Yeah, because it will come. Yeah, it will definitely come. Let us also look at another example. Another example of men who endured persecution courageously is Moses. And we'll see that in Hebrews 11, verse 25. Hebrews 11, verse 25. Okay, let me read from verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Yeah, so we know the story of Moses, how he identified with the people of God, the Israelites that were suffering under slavery and hardship in Egypt. He chose to identify with them than to identify with the Egyptians in the palace that are enjoying all kinds of pleasure. Yeah. And because of that, he was persecuted. Yeah, because there was a time an Egyptian was maltreating an Hebrew, and Moses had to kill the Egyptian to rescue the Hebrew or the Israelite. Yeah, and some people saw that. Yeah. And the news reached the authorities in the palace. Yeah. And they were going to arrest him and kill him too. So he had to run for his life. I mean, he ran for his life. Yeah. So he was also persecuted for identifying with God's people. You know, today, some believers fail to identify with the people of God, especially maybe the people of God are in suffering or in poverty. Yeah, they don't want to identify with such people. They want to identify with some rich people, wealthy people. Yeah, that is very wrong. Yeah, that is very wrong. We should identify even with those that are suffering among us. We should see their suffering as our own suffering, as our own suffering. We should see their hunger as our own hunger. We should feel their pain and reach out to help them. That was what Moses did. He wasn't comfortable that his people were suffering, and he was trying to do all his best to help them. even though he never received the calling to go and free them after that time. Yeah, I pray that you will identify with God's people, and even with those that are weak among God's people, and those that are suffering among God's people. Because today in the church, many of us are so self-centered. We only think about ourselves. We don't care about others. Now, the last example of people who endured persecution courageously are the saints, the Old and New Testament saints. The saints in the Old Testament and the saints in the New Testament. Let us read Hebrews 11, verse 35 to 40. Hebrews 11, verse 35 to 40. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, and they were sawn asunder. Yeah, you know what that means? Like, they cut them into two, just like a carpenter would use a saw to cut a piece of wood into two. So, you know, some of these things, they were torn asunder. They were cut into two with blade, with saw. Yeah, I think Prophet Isaiah gone through that. Yeah, I think he was torn into two, like was divided into two with saw. Yeah. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in desert and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And this all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Yeah, so you can see that these verses contain the accounts of men that served God and pleased God. And these men have walked on this earth. And usually when I read this place, my eyes is always glued to that place in verse 38 that says, of whom the world was not worthy. So these men were so righteous and pure that the world wasn't worthy of them. Yeah, I don't know if you understand what that means. They so much live a sacrificial life, and a life that is completely sold out to God, that the world was not worthy of them. That is, they were too pure to stay in this earth. Yeah, and we know that the world is full of darkness and sin. So these people were too pure to stay on earth because of the way they served the Lord, even in the midst of afflictions and torments. and temptations and, you know, and persecutions. Yeah, and some of them were translated like Elijah, because they were too pure to stay here on earth. So they have to be taken to a place that they can actually stay. I pray that we'll follow these examples and do what these people did in Jesus' name. Yeah, so we're going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on the group platform. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for all that you have shown us from your scriptures. Thank you for showing us perfect examples of men and women and saints that we should follow in order to please you and represent you correctly on earth at this time. I ask, O Lord, that you give everyone here the faith, the boldness, the courage, the obedient heart, and the loving heart that will enable every one of us to follow these examples in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you have mercy on your church that is on earth at the moment, and that you give your church a great revival that will change the way we serve you and the way we follow you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen.